All right, thank you for coming to this talk. My name is Ashay Rane, and I work with Calvin Dinh and Mohit Tiwari on compiler techniques to improve application security. And hopefully by the end of this talk, I would have convinced you that we should all behave like raccoons, or at least if not us, our compilers should behave like raccoons. So first, let me give you a big picture. So let's look at this code. It is essentially checking the value of secret bit. If the secret bit happens to be 1, it does some arithmetic. Otherwise, it does some other arithmetic. Anyway, so if we assume that the adversary does not have direct access to the memory location which stores the value of secret bit, can we still make a statement that the adversary will never be able to find out the value of secret bit just by observing the program execution? And as it turns out, this code is indeed very insecure. The adversary can find out the value of secret bit. And in fact, this extremely small code snippet has been demonstrated in many prior research works that it leaks side channels. It leaks the value of secret bit over multiple different side channels. So for instance, if the adversary can find out that your instruction pointer landed somewhere in the else block, then you can infer that the secret bit value was equal to 0. Or you would also notice that the number of instructions, in fact, there is an additional multiplication in the then block. And so by counting the number of instructions, you would also get to know whether the secret bit was 0 or 1. There's an additional memory reference to message, so address trace leaks information. Similarly, cache usage, branch predictor state, and also physical signals like power and EM radiation have been shown to leak the value of secret bit. So the point that I want to get to in this slide is that there are a ton of these side channels, and it is extremely difficult to design a physical system that does not leak any side channels at all. And moreover, each of these side channels are extremely potent. They have been shown to cause some very damaging effects, like, for instance, leaking your private encryption keys. And the reason why that's really bad is because once your encryption keys are lost, the entire security infrastructure essentially comes crumbling down. At least at the moment, we don't have security without encryption. They've also been shown to cause other damaging effects, like leaking your very private secret medical information, or fingerprinting software libraries, and along a completely different dimension, also in assisting reverse engineering of closed source processors. So this is about the attacks. And before I tell you how our solution is able to close many, although not all, side channels, I want to first hint at why is this a problem? Why is it difficult to close these multiple side channels and make it practically relevant right now? So for that, I'm going to take this particular example into account. This is not to say that this particular solution is bad, but rather I'll draw some common threads between this and prior solutions. So the way the solution actually works is that the first thing that it does, it adds extra NOP instructions so that each path from your branch takes the same amount of time. So it now closes the timing channel. And it also does one other thing, which is to introduce extra dummy variables or memory references so that the number of memory references are also constant between these two paths. And it places this into oblivious RAM. Okay. So now the problem with this solution is that, first of all, it closes only a limited number of side channels. It's only the timing and your instruction or your memory references. But more importantly, it is now forced to use oblivious RAM for making sure that the adversary cannot distinguish between accesses to message and message dummy. And since oblivious RAM is not as efficient as a direct memory access, your solution overhead is also higher. At the same time, you would notice that there are a couple of these NOP instructions at the bottom, so your compiler optimizations actually now have to be disabled. And also, your ORAM accesses cannot be cached in this, because if your ORAM accesses were cached, then it would leak information again over the timing channel. So the common thread between this and other prior solutions is A, that sometimes you have to make some limiting assumptions about your computer architecture research or your compiler optimizations, and you have to disable them in order to provide secure solutions. Or you are designing point solutions. That is, so there have been a host of prior works which address only a limited number of side channels. So there have been separate solutions for cache, separate solutions for power trace, address trace, EM radiation, and so on. Now, so the obvious disadvantage of using point solutions is that now if you want a comprehensive defense against multiple different point solutions, now you have to stack them together. And so your solution overhead increases substantially. Also, the not so obvious disadvantage is that sometimes you might not even be able to compose multiple solutions together. So for instance, if you fix the instruction count by adding, let's say, NOP instructions, and if you also want to fix your execution delay to a certain specific value, then you may not be able to achieve both results at the same time, because the moment you add new NOP instructions, your execution delay also changes. And so to counter these limitations and to strengthen these defenses, we present our solution called Raccoon. Now, we actually do what raccoons do in the wild. So let me tell you a little bit about Raccoon. So whenever a raccoon is being chased in the wild by its predator, it not necessarily tries to outrun that predator. It actually is smarter enough and can create such multiple fake paths. So it might go around a tree a few times. It might jump into a stream, double back again, climb up a tree, jump from one tree to another, and then continue along its way. So as a result, this predators, like dogs, for instance, are typically confused, or they keep going around into circles. And we apply that analogy to program execution in the sense that we execute multiple program paths, and we don't do it willy-nilly. The point is to convey an impression as if the program were executed with multiple different secret values. So to make that idea a little more concrete, here's that same example from earlier. So here, what Raccoon does is that it makes your program first evaluate the predicate, the branch predicate, and now irrespective of what is the value of that predicate, it always forces the execution to execute the then branch of the code. So execute the then portion as it is. Once that is finished, it forces again the execution to execute the else part. And so from the adversary's point of view, for this single dynamic instance of this branch, you have now executed both the true branch and the false branch, and so at the source level, it does not leak information. So this is the high-level nugget. There are, of course, a lot of details as to how this works and how do we make it efficient, but this is the key idea behind Raccoon, or one of the key ideas behind Raccoon. So the reason why this works and the reason why this is able to close more than a handful of side channels is because of this key insight that many side channels that leak application-level behavior emerge due to variations in your source-level behavior of the application. So to give you some concrete examples of how this happens, your branch predictor state, for instance, is dependent upon the specific program paths that you take. Or your memory address trace depends on the functions that you call or the locations that you jump to or whichever data memory that you reference. And if you think about it, this source level behavior can be expressed in very concise form using your control flows and data flows. So as a result, if you were to either normalize or randomize your control flows and data flows, then subsequently you would be able to close many of these digital side channels. So that's the high level argument about this entire work. So now going back to this idea of following multiple paths, there are a couple of questions that usually come up when I talk about this work to other people. So, and I'll address them right over here itself. So the first thing is multiple path execution is clearly infeasible if you try to execute all possible paths. In fact, many symbolic analysis tools essentially limit their total number of paths explored for this very same reason. Now, in this case, we have a couple of advantages. First, we can run the static analysis to find out which specific paths do we need to explore, and also that you can actually chop your execution into multiple small parts and thus obfuscate only a limited number of paths. So this reduces the overhead substantially. Also, Raccoon does not simulate your instruction execution. Like, for instance, it doesn't add those NOP instructions to try and make sure that the delays are the same. It actually forces the actual instructions to be executed. And so that's a lot more realistic than trying to mimic a real execution. So the obvious question is, how do we maintain correctness? So for instance, now you have these two values of Z, and moreover, they might also overwrite each other. So how do you make sure that your program execution is still correct? And the way we do that is by borrowing this extremely simple concept from transactions. So transaction systems use these buffers. So each path of the program writes to a separate transaction buffer. And now when both paths finish executing, you have to decide which one to actually write to memory and which one to discard. And at the same time, you have to do this in a manner which does not leak any secrets. So we do that using a register level CMOV operation. This is less than 10 lines of x86 assembly, and we demonstrate that it does not leak information either through the instruction pointer, through flags, through microarchitectural state, through performance counters, and so on. So if you step back, you would realize that this idea of following multiple different paths is essentially control flow normalization. And there is this other component which also may leak information, which is data accesses, or data flow accesses, essentially. So in this case, you have the secret index being used to access a specific value in the array. And by observing the trace of addresses that get emitted out of this execution, the adversary, if he or she knows what is the base address of the array, would be able to figure out what is the value of secret index. So to prevent such information leaks along this data-based side channels, Raccoon offers one of two options. The first option is to basically normalize the entire address trace. And so this might seem completely stupid and or rather simplistic, but it actually works. And the key point is to iterate over the entire array for every single access that you want to make inside the array. As it turns out, the processor's caches, prefetchers, and vector instruction support is actually quite strong, and so we're able to make it less inefficient using these features of these modern processors. Also, we implement a software equivalent of the path ORAM algorithm. We use the register level CMOV operation and a couple of other tricks to make it possible to run your ORAM algorithm in software rather than requiring an extra hardware component. So it also reduces the trusted computing base. So this approach is not only intuitive, but it brings along a few other benefits as well. So first thing is that it expands your threat model. Now you can obfuscate more number of side channels, or you can close more number of side channels than were previously possible with just one solution. Also, your secrets are never really stored in the code, and so you don't have to go this extra distance of trying to prevent your code from being leaked to the adversary. You can freely distribute it. Since we are talking about program-level obfuscation and not hardware-level obfuscation, your solution is now backward compatible. You do not require any changes on the hardware, and so as long as you can recompile your application for a different target, and as long as it can execute those 10 lines of x86 assembly, you can still run your application on any other platform. And in comparison with related work, it also expands the set of language features that you can use. So for instance, if you had function calls in the secret context, you would still be able to use it with Raccoon. So let's turn to the security evaluation. There are three main components that we use in this evaluation. The first part is to make sure that the obfuscated code or the transformed code does not leak information. And we do that using by verifying that the control flows and data flows are, first of all, correct in place of this obfuscation and that they also do not leak information. We also verify that the obfuscation code, that is the internal Raccoon code, does not leak information. And we do that by using inference rules over the LLVM intermediate representation. And finally, what is directly relevant over here is we also run an example side channel attack and see how the transformed application behaves. So in this case, we have an adversary application which is polling for the instruction pointer value of a victim application, and it does that over the slash proc interface. So it does this every 5 milliseconds, and then over this sampled interface, we now run k-fold cross-validation. In this case, k happens to be 10. And so you get this confusion matrix. So this confusion matrix is essentially plotting the confidence in the prediction of a specific input given some actual input value. So there is a clear correlation before obfuscation between the actual inputs and the predicted inputs. And after obfuscation, the confidence substantially reduces, and you also have incorrect predictions as well. Let's turn to the performance evaluation. So there are a few key points that I want to mention here. The first is we wanted to measure our application performance against an optimized modern processor. So we We do not evaluate against embedded systems or embedded processors, but rather full-blown x86 processors. So even our applications, baseline applications for that matter, are compiled with O3 and can use full hardware support. We also wanted to compare against some of the best work out there. So we compared it against Ghost Rider. This has been some very good work out of Maryland. We wanted to make sure that we compare against how does Ghost Rider behave in the context of modern processor as well, and how does our solution compare against it. So to make that comparison fair, we used 8 programs from Ghost Rider, and we added 7 more, which were slightly more complicated and used some language features which cannot be obfuscated by Ghost Rider. And one thing that I should mention is that we have also improved the system in the last 2 months, and those optimizations are included here, although those are completely engineering optimizations. So as it turns out, side channels defense can be extremely expensive. So this is Ghost Rider, which obfuscates your address trace side channel. And when you evaluate it in the context of a modern processor, the overheads are quite substantial. So our goal was to make sure that our overhead turns out to be at least not higher than Ghost Rider. And as it turns out, the overhead of Raccoon is substantially less. It is about 16x on these 8 benchmarks. Now, when you compare it against all 15 benchmarks, the overhead is about 9x. The reason why it's low is because now when these applications are bigger, you do not necessarily have to transform or obfuscate your entire application. You can just obfuscate the smaller portions of it, and so your overhead is over can drop. And if you can almost split these programs into 3 different categories. The ones at the extreme left have a low overhead because compiler optimizations reduce the number of candidates for obfuscation. So you still have to do obfuscation, of course, because your secrets are not really eliminated from the program, but the number of times you have to transform the code is substantially reduced. At the right end of the spectrum, the overhead is high because most of the times, the overhead is dominated by your array accesses. So because of the fact that we have to stream over the entire array, especially when these arrays grow big, the overhead increases substantially as well. And in some cases, our implementation is not as efficient, so these inefficiencies crop up in the resulting overhead as well. So we currently use STL maps as a simplistic implementation, but that shows up, that clearly is inefficient. So we certainly don't claim that Raccoon is the solution to all side channel attacks. And so there are certain very specific limitations of Raccoon. The first one is that what we define in the paper as non-digital side channels. Typically, these side channels which occur at the physical signal level, like heat, power trace, EM radiation, and so on, those are clearly not obfuscated by Raccoon because they cannot be closed by just changing your control flows. Also, library calls and system calls are outside of the realm of your compiler, and so those are not obfuscated by Raccoon. And there are certain language features also which Raccoon cannot currently obfuscate. So for instance, a prime example of which is recursion. So in case of recursion, you would have a terminal condition at the end, and if you try to obfuscate that, you would continuously keep calling that function itself. So you'd have infinite such recursion. And so this approach of trying to obfuscate the control flow doesn't really work for all language features. There are some artifactual limitations which we are currently working on improving them. And in fact, the most recent version, although this is not included in the paper, the most recent version of Raccoon includes partial support for secret-dependent loop trip counts as well. So there's a lot more in the actual paper which I did not get to talk about. For instance, we talk about how to extend this for multi-threaded applications. Various different optimizations that we use to make the overhead of this obfuscation substantially less, and also the details of performance and security evaluation. So in conclusion, there are 3 main things to draw out of this work. The first is that since we are using program-level obfuscation, you can now close a broader range of these side channels, what we define as digital side channels in the paper. Also, your hardware does not need to change, and so this approach actually works in tandem with your hardware and your compiler optimizations. And finally, this also expands the threat model because it offers stronger protection in terms of more side channel defense, and also your code, for instance, does not need to be protected from the adversary. So in as future work, we would like to work on two main things. The first is to expand the set of language features that we use, and also to increase the scope of our solution by preventing more side channel attacks, and also to scale it to bigger programs, not just along the data dimension, but also increasing the complexity of the code. So with that, if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
Any questions for Ashay?
Hi, great talk, thanks. So I have two questions, so I'll kind of like reorder myself after this if there's still time. So my first question is, so there has to be some runtime when the program is running on this unmodified processor.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of leading out of that question, where does ORAM start? Like where does an ORAM protocol or access start?
This is on every memory access to a secret data structure. So
this is at the core level, between the core and the first level cache?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
So yes. How on earth does this runtime orchestrate an ORAM procedure over an unmodified modern processor?
So the thing is, if you think about it, your leaks can occur either because of, say, direct access to the stash or the position map.
Sure.
And to prevent that, now we have to stream over the entire stash or a position map. So this is a modified version of PathORAM to make it work on x86. So you certainly cannot index directly into the stash or position map, but if you stream over the entire stash or position map, then your address trace from accessing the stash or position map is made completely independent of the secret index itself.
I see. And is there a problem where you stream in the stash and position map and it kicks stuff out to locations that you cannot control because it's a modern processor?
It may kick it out, but then the way it kicks it out, so the hardware might kick some specific lines out, but the hardware is never really made aware of which location is secret and which location is not. From the software perspective, you're normalizing the entire trace, and so it is independent of
that. Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Really interesting talk. I'm curious if you have any thoughts on what the performance impact would be using this on AES to reduce cache-based side channel attacks.
Oh, good question. So actually, I had to mention over there. I forgot to mention that these overheads are highly subjective to the application behavior, and so the moment you use a different application, you're likely to see different overheads as well. So. We haven't applied it to AES primarily because right now there exists hardware support in AES. But if you extend this to general cryptographic attacks, the key point about cryptographic software is that it, at least in my opinion, based on my general reading, it appears that the data sizes are not typically very high. Their arrays within, let's say, some functions are typically small enough. So your overhead is mostly dominated by executing multiple different paths. So in that sense, cryptographic software actually represents an easier case to deal with because your program complexity in general is not very high. I could be wrong, but that's at least my observation. If you look at much more full-blown applications, there is a lot more potential for higher overhead because you have to do a lot more work in general rather than smaller sections of the code. Does that? Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So the next question is about Ghostwriter. Do mm-hmm. you have the same threat model as Ghostwriter?
Do I have the same what?
Threat model, like attack surface?
So Ghostwriter, so we actually extend the threat model. So so Ghostwriter, for instance, because of the fact that it changes your program and adds some dummy references,
mm-hmm.
It has to make sure that your code is not leaked out, for instance. So that model, I would say, is more restrictive than what we have in Dracoon. In Dracoon, we can permit the code to be released, or we also, there are other side channels, for instance, like your branch predictor that may leak information in case of Ghostwriter, but it is perfectly fine if the branch predictor is enabled because it still doesn't leak information in case of Dracoon. So it's a bigger threat model or a more expansive threat model in Dracoon as compared to Ghostwriter.
So do you have some intuition for why Ghostwriter is so bad compared to you guys?
Yeah, good point. So there are two main reasons, I would say. The first is that Ghostwriter's reliance on ORAM is slightly higher. It has to use ORAM more number of times than Raccoon, and this is because it inserts those dummy references. And as a result, ORAMs can be quite expensive. The other thing is that there is a fundamental difference in the approach as well. Since Ghost Rider is trying to simulate the effects of executing this fake path by adding, let's say, these NOP instructions and so on, the subsequent steps that are taken are not as general purpose or as generic as Raccoon. So in Raccoon, since we execute the actual instructions, we do not have to, let's say, disable the cache, we do not have to disable branch prediction, and so by utilizing the hardware optimizations and compiler optimizations as well, you can that gives you a substantial improvement over Ghost Rider.
I see. One more.
Well, let's make sure.
Okay.
Oh,
sure. Yeah.
Else.
Yeah. We'll certainly talk offline.
Thanks very much.
Sure. Yeah.
Thank you. This is a very nice system, and
thank you.
I'm curious about one aspect of it. So you are, in a sense, pessimizing the optimization by executing all branches, and you're doing this at some level in the LLVM IR.
That's right.
How do you know that subsequent levels are not smart enough to re-optimize things?
Good, very good point. So your optimizations can be applied at various different levels, right? You could apply it at the Clang level, for instance, at the EST. You could apply it at the IR level once at the optimization level, and maybe there might be some hardware optimizations as well. So the one key detail over here is that we run our pass after all optimizations have been applied, but there's a caveat, because you can, since this is an IR level transformation, we make sure that Raccoon runs after Clang and IR LLVM optimizations may run. Now there might be optimizations at the backend level of the compiler or at the assembly level, or you could imagine hardware level optimizations as well. So at the backend level, at least the way we do it in the paper is, or in the actual work, is to mark this specific, say, 10 lines of assembly as volatile. So first of all, it is coded as assembly, so the IR does not have means to specifically transform that. If you look at the C99 model, it says that if a block of code is marked as volatile, then the compiler has to perfectly order it as if it was never optimized. At the assembly level, specifically with respect to GNU assembler, because I've not looked at other assemblers, but at the assembly level, there are very few specific optimizations that get run, and those do not conflict. In fact, there are just two of them that I looked up last night. One is around short jumps and long jumps. The other one, I believe, yeah, the other one is actually related to that. So as a result, those, we are sure, we do not conflict with the changes that we make in Raccoon. And finally, the optimizations that run at the hardware level are completely agnostic to what is this obfuscation that is happening in the software. And so as a result, those do not interfere with Raccoon's guarantees. Does that make sense? Okay, great, thanks.
Great. Well, let's thank Ashay one more time.
Yeah.